Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. And he says to the angel in Assembly of Stars, remember we talked about this last week, he has angels in each church and congregation. We have an angel that was assigned here when Susie Yari came. That angel was to do something. I believe when we're supposed to build this, the foundation's built, a brand new, powerful, ruling angel has been assigned to us. We felt it. You know, people get all bent about angels. I'm not trying, and I'm not making fun of them, they messaged me and said, I listened to you on the radio and I understand all this talk about angels. Could you show me where it's at in scripture? It's like, I said, my goodness, read this book and this book and this book. I don't have time in a Facebook message to teach you the meat of God's word about angels. But let me just do a really quick little summary I did for her. Jesus Christ's name, one of his positions, he's the intercessor, right? Ever interceding for us? That's one thing he's doing now. Another thing he's doing in the scriptures is he is the commander of hosts, which means he is like the major person over the military in the kingdom of God, which consists of angels. Remember, we call our president the commander in chief, right? Jesus Christ is the commander in chief over his army of angels. Now, what are they doing? They're fighting on behalf of the will of God to come on this earth as it is in heaven. And the way it's set up is that through the authority that Jesus Christ has given us, when we speak his word led by his spirit, so it's all God, right? It's all God, but it's a people yielded to God and doing what God wants. And when we declare that in the name of Jesus, not in our flesh, the angels do something with it. The Bible says they go and perform it. The Bible says they are ministers to us. So get it, when we're doing spiritual warfare, it's not the Holy Spirit going and doing this stuff. So I want you to get this, because I'm getting this so clear reading this book, The Agenda of Angels by Kevin Zadeh. All right, so this is real. There's real spiritual warfare with everything in your life. There's real spiritual warfare with the elections. There's real spiritual warfare, okay? Angels fight the fallen angels or the demons, okay? The unclean spirits, the demonic spirits, the principalities, all this stuff. I'm not getting into all of it today. We'll get into that on a Tuesday night. But we are the ones, as we hear God and obey God, we actually, by speaking God's word, we give them something to perform. The Bible says his word will not return void. It will do what it was sent forth to do. Okay? Well, a spoken word can't do anything on its own, right? Right? It's not like... So what happens when we speak God's word led by his spirit with his heart, there's an authority in that word, and the angels hear that authority that comes from Jesus Christ coming through us connected to his spirit, and they actually can war with that. In other words, they can stop demons. Like God's word says that this is going to happen. But all this exposure, this whole thing that just happened, everything, we were just praying to stop the plot of the enemy, which if people didn't know this, there was a plot of the enemy to take this elections all the way to the Supreme Court that is kind of slanted still because of some people not doing what people thought to decide who the president is. And all of a sudden, in a moment, through all the prayer, God turns the whole plot around. Like now, people who want... to have fraudulent outcome. They don't want the Supreme Court to decide now, because now Mike Pence takes the place of who would have had that voice. until somebody gets nominated and put in there who's got to come from the same conservative thinking, so to speak. Do you see what I'm saying? All of a sudden it flipped like that, like that, like that. God stopped the biggest plan of the enemy to take this nation away from God's plan. Just like that. Could any person do it? No. I mean, if the enemy got demonized people close, God's not going to have somebody go kill somebody. Amen. So the devil might try to do his stuff, but God's not going to do evil. Amen. Does anybody get what I'm saying? It's through prayer that that happens. It's through prayer that God stops the plan of the enemy. And so I'm just showing you, in your lives, if we had known what we know now, and had we had our hearts right and followed through, I believe with all my heart, my daughter would have lived and glorified God on this planet. Amen? What's meant for evil, God can turn it to good. He's faithful even when we're not, but he doesn't cause evil. Just get that. But I didn't know anything then, and I thought I knew everything. I did some praying. He even tried to wake me up. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's like, get rid of all the failures you're thinking about. God never failed you. You didn't know who you are in the kingdom. You didn't know how to operate in the things of God. You had too much bondage and too much thinking about you and too much generational curses and too much of intellectualism and whatever it is that the enemy has used that you have to overcome. Can you get this? Overcoming is not just about a horrible problem. If we would overcome, we'd never even see that horrible problem. So in Revelations, we're talking about what he wants us to overcome as a church. But remember, there's overcoming as individuals, and quit running away from what God's requiring you to overcome and face it. All right. So he says to this angel in the church in Sardis, these things is the one having the seven spirits of God. Okay, let me tell you what those are really quick. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Okay? So you can, we got teaching on that, but all of those are involved in who God is. He says to this church, I know your works. Now this is so real for a lot of the churches in America. I know your works. It's a letter, and it's also can all be real for different people. I know your works. You have the name that you live, but you're dead. In other words, this is an active church doing good stuff. But none of it's led by the Spirit of God. It's dead. He says, be watching, and you need to establish the things that are left. The very little bit that the Holy Spirit's in, you better get that established. But it's about to die. For I have not found your works being fulfilled before God. Then remember how you received and heard and kept and repent. He says, go back to when you actually got saved. Go back when my spirit was really operating in that church. You need to do a way go back. Repent and get doing this thing right. He says, if you do not watch. And what's watch mean? Watch means if you don't wake up to the spirit realm, if you don't start seeing what's going on in the spirit, if you don't see what the enemy's up to, if you don't start coming out of your blindness, then God's going to come on you like a thief. And you will not know what hour he will come upon you. And that coming upon you is not a good coming upon you. That's a coming upon you to take away the lampstand. That's, he's basically going to come. There are also going to be a people who are going to miss the rapture. There are people who won't know when he comes. He says, you do have a few names in Sardis which did not defile their robes. These will walk with me in white because they are worthy. Now, isn't that cool? So even in some extremely dead churches, God has some people who know him and walk with him, and he's not going to penalize them because the corporate church was dead. Amen? He's faithful. The one overcoming, what are they overcoming in this case? Religious works with no connection to the headship of Jesus Christ and the anointing of God. They have to overcome religious works. You have to overcome religious works. Your religious works do nothing. And you have to overcome them. You got to deal with that. All right? Now listen to what he says. The one overcoming, this one shall be clothed in white garments, which means God's going to make them righteous and holy. And he will not at all blot their name out of the book of life. Which means those indeed churches that used to have something real, he's going to take their names out of the book of life. Which means their altar call and even their fire and passion for God 20 years ago, if they don't wake up in this hour and overcome, they're not going to be saved. Got people in dead churches who are dead, their spirits aren't alive anymore, they're not living for God, they think that they're saved. But their name's not going to be in the book. It was in the book, but it's not going to be in the book. Once and for all, does anybody see, there is no such thing as once saved, always saved. It is an unbiblical lie of the devil to lure you into a way of thinking that you don't have to have the fear of the Lord anymore. You don't have to really seek after him. See, a heart that wants to get saved to not go to hell, but wants nothing to do with God, that heart deserves to go to hell. Once you taste and see how good he is, you should want him. Get rid, overcome the stuff in your life. And everybody has different stuff that makes you not want God. Amen? He says, now, this is cool. We need to see this. If you overcome, he will not at all blot out your name in the book of life, but he will acknowledge, I will acknowledge your name before my Father and before his angels. Remember the scripture that says if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. He won't acknowledge you in front of the Father or the angels. Everybody get this. Jesus has a big, big part in this whole thing. People act like, oh, he's done his part. No, Jesus is still the one, when judgment comes, he's still the one to say, come in, I want you to meet the Father. Come in. And these are my, you want to get this vision. When I go before the Lord for judgment, when I, even if I go into heaven, however all that works, he's going to say, hey, Cindy, come here. Come here. Father, this is Cindy. You know her, but, oh, this is Cindy. She did this, this, and this. And put your name there. And hey, angels, hey, you guys, remember the one who sent you to do that and this? This is her. Do y'all know there's going to be an unbelievable celebration and honoring and party when we get before the Lord if we've done his will because we love him? See, you can't manipulate this and try to do things. Because he says, away from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. The key is knowing him. You can do all these spiritual things, speak in tongues, cast out demons, all these things. But if you don't know him, he doesn't know you. If you work iniquity, he says, I don't know you. And he's not going to introduce you to the Father. Amen. And to the angels. I want you to start to see how real this is. This is up and coming things for real. What's he going to say when you show up? And don't go into condemnation. Some of you are doing exactly what God wants you to do, and the world wouldn't think it looks that spiritual. God, he knows. He knows who in this place are givers. He knows who in this place are doing exactly what they're called to do. But you need to know. You need to know, this is what God's called me to do. Everyone's not called to the fivefold ministry. Everyone's not called to the mission field. Everyone is called to do God's will. And everyone is called to get closer to God. Amen? And so when you see this, he's really good. This is going to happen for everybody. This is going to happen for everybody. I'm not, oh, she's so boastful. Now, I know I'm sold out. I know it. You can know it because I'm not who I used to be. He still changes my heart every day. I still talk to him every day about deliver me from this. Help me with this. Help me to see this right. Show me if I do something. I live in this place of like Isaiah says, when I come before him, it's like, Lord, I'm a person with unclean lips. Would you help me? But I recognize he loves to help me. He wants to cleanse me. He wants to change me. Amen. Am I saying I can't fall away? Yeah, but I'm not going to, because I'm going to stay hungry and stay around people who are hungry and stay in his word. Amen. It's not like, oh gosh, I hope I get in. No, you can know you're going to get in. Amen. You can know because you're falling in love with him. You're going to stay in love with him. You're going to get more in love with him. You're going to fan the flame. Amen. You're going to recognize when you're getting cold and you're going to say, no, I'm going to get hot. I'm going to go to this conference. I'm going to read this. I'm going to do something to get me out of the comfort zone of falling away. Amen. It's your choice. If you draw near to him, he will always draw near to you. Always. It's always our free will choice. Always. All right. The one who has ear, hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. It's so important to have spiritual ears and spiritual eyes. God, help me to get free from intellectualism or anything that hinders. Help me get free from that spirit. We did this the other night. It was powerful. You can go online and find it. But do you, if you had parents who, or authority people or spouses who didn't want to know you, like they just wanted you to take care of things or be there or make things simple. See, this is what we have a whole generation of. We have a whole generation of kids who parents didn't want to know them. They were too self-absorbed. They were too busy. They just kind of put them away. No, repent of that. If you didn't want to know your kids because the devil had you so thinking about you and self-absorbed, go and make amends now. Go and say, you know, I need to hear you. I need to know you. I want to know about you. See, Jesus said, away from me, you worker of sin. I don't know you. And so we had this whole prayer, it's online. God, I want to be somebody you know. Make me somebody you know. And the Lord began to show me as he began to bring a healing to hurt places that a lot of people have a wall up because the enemy made their parents not want to know them. They were just part of the family. They were just here. They were just there. And it was never really a focused relationship saying you matter. And so there's a healing for that. Ask God to heal that. Because everything's supposed to be about relationship. What can somebody do for me? It's about relationship. Make sure you have time to let your children know you want to know them. What's going on with them? And get that heart, Lord, I want to know my kids. And all of us, not all of us, different ones have different things. I've had self-absorbed. I have different things God set me free from, and I've really repented. Boy, when I got free from self-absorbed, my whole relationship with my kids really changed. And it was okay before, but then she's so busy with all her busy stuff. She's so busy with God's stuff. And I was like, no, what are you saying? What are you doing? You let me know you. Amen? Break through and begin to want to know people. Want to know your grandchildren. Want to know people. Lord, I want to know this person. Help me see them the way you see them. Help me make them realize how important their personality is, their individuality is. Amen? All right. The angel to the assembly in Philadelphia says, these things says the Holy One, the true one, the one having the key of David. Now, there's two keys in Scripture that we can have that God has to give us. The key of heaven is binding and loosing. Now, I won't get into that, but binding and loosing, when God gives you those keys, it's powerful. Then you can release angels into a situation. Then you can bind up demons. Then you can really war in the heavenlies because you've been given the keys of the kingdom. And we're not going to teach that. I got teaching on it somewhere, but we're going to start getting some of this meat. Amen. You want those keys of the kingdom. Everybody doesn't have it. This stuff is spiritual. It's not formula. Amen. When you really got those keys, you know it. You know when you're binding something and when you're loosing something, you know that it's real. Amen. You know the devil's got to stop now. You know that Holy Spirit's leading you. Amen. But these keys, the key of David is powerful. God has the key of David. When he gives you the key of David, it's powerful. The key of David is whatever. The key of David is the devil cannot close a door on you and he cannot open the wrong door for you. The key of David is God. Jesus has that key and he wants to give it to those. We got a whole teaching list too. But David was a worshiper after God's heart. A worshiper after God's heart, someone who's intimately in love with Jesus Christ and worships him when they wake up in the middle of the night. There's this, they don't have to try. It just comes forth. And then that gives them that key of David. In other words, because you worship me like this, the devil's not going to order your steps. He's not going to open the wrong door. He's not going to be able to bring the wrong people into your life. I'm going to open and I'm going to close doors. You won't go to the wrong things. Amen. He says, I know your works. Behold, I have given a door being opened before you. No one is able to shut it. For you have a little power, you've kept my word, and you have not denied my name. So he's given this particular church the key of David. In other words, the devil's trying to close down this church. The devil wants to do everything to stop this church from having the power God wants it to have. And they have a little power, but they're holding on. There's a lot of warfare going against this church. And they've kept his word. They've kept his word. They love his word. They walk in his word. They believe his word. And they have not denied his name. This is a church under heavy persecution. This is a church that we're going to see more and more as we get in the end days of the kind of persecution to deny his name. There's a lot of churches operating right now. They've denied his name. They don't act like there's any power. It's just like a social club. But this is a church that'll preach the gospel the way it is. I'm not going to deny it. I have a little power in Christ. I want more. Amen. He says, "Behold, I give out of the synagogue of Satan those saying themselves to be Jews. They're not. They lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they shall know that I loved you." This is a church that other people, and these were in the Jewish area, the Jews are saying they're not really Christians. They don't really know Christ. They weren't really Jews before. So their identity and who they are as a believer is keep being challenged and shaken and challenged and shaken. But they're not bowing to it. They're not bowing to it. They recognize who are really believers, who aren't believers. These people recognize who are really the Jews going after God and who aren't. This church had strong discernment, right? Behold, he's going to make even their enemies that have come against them come down and recognize who they are in Christ Jesus. What a God. God's like, they're going to say you're not of me. When they're really not of me, they're going to try to have everyone question that you really belong to God. But I'm going to do things of those who come against you where they're going to have to come and right before you recognize who you are in me. And it says, they shall know that I have loved you. God's going to do something in those churches where the persecution is so strong and people come so much against that church. That if something's going to happen, God's going to make it happen, turn around where those people are going to recognize, wow, they have the favor of God. They have the love of God. I don't know what anybody said or has been saying, but that person knows God, and God's going to make them acknowledge that. Amen? And I know with the little bit of persecution I've had, God has done that in my life. Because this is not of God, and blah, 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 blah. And then they come, and they need a healing, or they come, and they want me to pray for their child, or they come. And God turns this stuff around all the time. Because he will take care of us, amen? He will honor us as we walk with him and obey him. He'll take care of our reputations. It says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will keep you out of the hour of trial, which is coming on all the world in order to try those dwelling on the earth. So this group has favor with God, amen? This is a group who's persecuted. This is a group who's called false. This is a group who has strong discernment. This is a church. This could very well be talking to end time church because he said, you guys, he's basically saying you're going to be raptured. This group, they're overcoming. They are not going to go through the trial that's coming on the whole earth, which pretty much makes it know that you could make this church. I know they were all talking about churches of that day, but and there was some shaking that happened that day. But this is a church that God is talking about in this day. I believe all these churches represent something going on in the last days because of what the book of Revelation conclusion is. Amen? And so God is saying, just hang in there. Hang on to the power. Keep believing. I'm going to take care of your reputation. They're going to recognize. They're going to need you. They're going to need what you have in me. They're going to know that you love me, and they're going to need you, and I'm going to have them come and need help from you. Isn't he amazing? And then he goes on, he says, and just hang in there, and you're going to be ones who will not go through the trial that's going to come in the whole world. I'm going to take you out of it. This is another scripture to say there is a God who is going to deliver some of his church from the wrath. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold what you have that no one take your crown. The one overcoming,
That kind of persecution, that kind of being lied about, that kind of trying to get you to deny Christ. The one overcoming, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall not go out anymore. And I will write the name of my God on him, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which will come down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Wow, I'm going to tell you what, whoever these people are, who stand in the worst of times and believe and do not give in to hatred and bitterness and all these things. When that kind of hate is coming at you, it's so easy to try to take in that spirit. And no, they're just going to stand and they're going to show the love of God. People are going to know they love God. And God says, boy, those who overcome this, those who walk through this, I'm going to keep you out of the wrath. I'm going to keep you out of that hour of trial. And it doesn't mean just 1 hour. That's going to come on the whole earth. The one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To the angel of the assembly of Laodicea, write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the head of the creation of God. Well, you could study every one of these names of him and get a greater picture of him. So even though he's telling you what to overcome, he's telling you how you can overcome it by knowing who he is and knowing everything about him. He says, I know your works. Now here's, this is a lot of the American church, and I believe what we're going through the nations right now is a part of God spitting out of his mouth those who are pretty happy just staying home watching church on video. Yeah, get their own little lives. Things are great. It's like just no passion and fire to be the church he's called us to be, to come together, to be those living stones. That's the other thing when I was watching that prophecy this morning. The Lord's like, Cindy, these people are living stones. They're living stones. In other words, each of them are being formed and put together in such a way to be part of what I'm building. It's pretty amazing. He says, these things says the Amen, the faithful true witness, the head of the creation of God. I know your works. No, I know what you're doing, people. He's like, I know what you're doing. You are not cold and you're not hot. You just do the minimum to get by. You just show up for church enough to say you went to church. You maybe open your Bibles once in a while. You just do the minimum to feel okay about yourself. For other people to not know if you're saved or not. Or think you're saved. He goes, but I wish that you were either cold or hot. He's pretty much saying, you make up your mind. You make up your mind. Are you in or are you out? Do you want me or do you not? He says, but because you are lukewarm, not cold, not hot, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. Which basically means the Lord is going to put the lukewarm believers into situations where they will either have to choose him or walk away from him. It will be too uncomfortable to continue being lukewarm. It'll be too uncomfortable to be a hypocrite, too uncomfortable to be in sin and then acting like you're okay in church. It's gonna be too uncomfortable. He's going to put you in situations, he's going to cause situations in your life where you're going to have to sell out or get out. Because you say, I am rich and I am made rich and I need of nothing. In other words, they're all looking at their success, their prosperity, their big houses, that they do fine, and they think that means that they're okay with God. He says, but you don't even know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You don't even know how poor you are in the things of God. You don't even know how blind you are in the things of God. You don't even have any idea. You are so deceived. You are so self-deceived. You don't have any idea about him and his kingdom. I mean, this is a lot of Christianity in America. I advise you, he goes, I'm going to give you some advice if that's you. You need to buy from me gold, having been fired by fire. What he's saying is, you need to seek me to deal with your heart. You need to seek me and know you're going to go in the fire of trials. You're going to go into situations where you're going to have to choose me or walk. You're going to go in situations where you're going to need me. You're going to go into situations where I'm going to be what you cry out for. I'm going to be who you cry out for. I'm going to be everything you need. You're going to go into those situations. So get ready, because you need my fire to come on you and get rid of the stuff that doesn't belong in your life. He says, when you go through this fire, I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to give you white garments or purify you, that you shall be clothed.
I will take care of your shame and nakedness. They'll be gone. They won't be revealed. And I will anoint your eyes with balm so that you may see. I'm going to open your spiritual eyes. I'm going to come in. And you, if you begin to cry out for the fire of God, you begin to cry out to see things the way God sees things. You begin to seriously want his fire of testing, his fire of changing you to come into your life, because you don't want to be lukewarm. Some of you are in the trials you've been in because you've been praying those prayers. Amen? But don't you want it? Don't you want your eyes to open here? These aren't trials the devil brings. See, there's two trials that go on in this whole scripture he's talking about. There's two trials. There, I'm going to vomit you out, and you're going to go through some mess, and I hope you choose me in it. The other is, you're crying out to be holy. You're crying out to know me. You're crying out for truth. You're asking for my fire. So I'm going to be in charge of that fire. I'm going to hold you in that fire. I'm going to take you through that fire. I'm going to become your everything in that fire. That's not promised in the lukewarm vomit. Amen? So let's put it this way. You're going to go through something. You can either go through something called being vomited out of his mouth. Doesn't sound good. Or you can get a heart to be made holy. You can get a heart to put in what it takes for him to heal your heart, deal with your issues, change you. And then, and most of you are probably in that, or you probably wouldn't be in this church. Amen? Because this is a fire church, not a vomit church. Amen. He says, now get this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Would you enablers recognize you are not loving your children when you do not rebuke them and discipline them and punish them and help them realize the penalty of their and the consequences of sin? You don't love them. You're just trying to make sure they love you. You're just trying to make sure you're okay. You're just trying to make up for guilt or something. God's not in that. God says if you love as many as he loves, he will rebuke and chasten. He says, be zealous then and repent. If he's supposed to be the example of what godly parenting looks like, then he needs to be the example of that. It doesn't mean once they're older, you need to do this stuff when they're younger. Once they're older, you're going to have to repent, apologize, and tell them where you missed it, and just pray for them. Not be their judge. Amen? He doesn't make you their judge. He makes you, he says, judge yourself. You look at your family mess and see your part in it. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's so easy to see the part in it of the other spouse, but how many know? He says one believing spouse sanctifies the children and makes them holy, which says quit blaming them, look at you. Yes. Quit blaming anybody, because God only starts where repentance begins. He starts fixing what we repent of. Repentance is an awesome gift. You want your family changed? Change, let God change your heart. Quit blaming everybody. Then he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. So to this group of poor, this group of they think they got it all, this group that doesn't need God, they're so rich, they've got it all together. And he's like, yeah, you're not even hot or cold. You're about to get barfed out. How many know, even in a little way, some of the stuff we've gone through in this crazy 2020 year has been vomit to some and fire to others. I've been in the fire. I have not been in the vomit. Amen? But there's a lot of people in the vomit and not in the fire. Amen? Just the two look alike. Yeah. It's what's going on in your heart that determines, is it vomit or fire? And then he says, in the midst of this, after I've loved you, I rebuke you, I chasten you, I change you, you're repenting, I'm going to stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter to him and dine with him and he with me. What's the Lord saying? When you come through this fire, we're going to be intimate. When you come through this fire, you're going to hear me. You're going to walk with me. You're going to know me. You're going to love me. I'm going to fellowship with you. I'm going to have a real passion.
powerful relationship with you. How many want that?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Well, guess what? You got to quit being lukewarm and hanging out in vomit. And you got to decide to have the fire, which includes chastening and rebuke. How many know, as soon as I start hitting people's stuff, led by Holy Spirit, can I let you know, I don't talk about your stuff. I don't think about your stuff. I don't really care about your stuff. I have a really full, happy, yay life to sit around. I'm not a gossip. I just really, honest to goodness, don't even think about it. So when it comes out of my mouth around you, it's not me. Okay? So when the devil in you wants to try to blame me, tell the devil in you to shut up in Jesus' name. I'm being rebuked and chastened by the Holy Spirit because he loves me and I'm going to overcome.
Amen.
And those who want to do that and get through his fire, they will have an intimate, powerful relationship with him, just as the Lord has had prophesied. If you hang in there, God will do this. I did not sign up for this. I'm not having any more pity party. I'm thankful for anything God wants to do and why he wants to do it. And any way he wants to use me, he can use it. But I am not apologizing for yielding to Holy Spirit to bring correction, chastening, and rebuke that is so needed in the body of Christ, because he loves us and he doesn't want you to think that you are illegitimate in his eyes. And we have so much illegitimacy in this nation that we've made that normal. And when there's illegitimacy, which means there's no real father being led by God in the situation, or even a human father who knows how to be decent, when that happens, then nobody understands the real love of God and how it includes not enabling, but chastening and rebuke. And when you have a mess, if your kids are messed up, you need to sit back and say, where did I miss it? Where did I enable? When did I get off? And you need to have a do-over with God. And quit trying to control them, judge them, and change them. You had your years to bring them up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But God doesn't say give up on them now. God says, let's deal with you. And as I deal with you, your prayers are going to get righteous. And the prayers of the righteous prevail much. And then you're walking in faith, not condemnation. You're walking in believing that he's going to do what he's promised you he's going to do, and not guilt. And that he's going to give you the hard things to do, but in love you're going to do them, and you're going to know that God is going to work this thing, because you're going to do it led by him and not led by these other things. As many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten. So be zealous then and repent. Look at that. He goes, go for that. Go after God rebuking you. Go after God chastening you, God changing you. He says, be zealous for that. How many hear that preached in church? Be zealous. I'm zealous for that. God, thank you. Show me. Show me where I don't see things right. Help me, God. He says, I stand at the door. I knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I'll enter to him, dine with him, and he with me. Let me tell you what. People are trying to get into that entering and dining and intimacy without the chastening and the rebuke. And we got a lot of religious spirits all over the church with messed up people thinking they're walking and hearing God. But there's nothing real. They're not preaching the gospel. They're not moving in the things of God. They're not having the character of God. They're not walking in love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, patience. Amen? And it is actually almost an epidemic in the church in America. The one overcoming. How many is going to be overcoming? I will give him to sit with me in my throne. Whew. You want to be as close to God as you can? Overcome this. I want to be right where he is. He says, I'll give you to sit with me in my throne, because I overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. The one who has ear, hear what the Spirit is saying. How cool is that? How powerful is that? Look at the promises of overcoming. As a church, can I tell you this? I'm just telling you this. You can stay or leave. It's between you and God, or maybe between you and the devil. That's up to you. This church is overcoming. This church is going to do everything God's called us to do, whether we're the persecuted church in it, the misunderstood church in it, whether we have discernment that other people say we're wrong. I don't care. I don't care about anything but fulfilling God's will. Amen. We're going to fill God's will. He said, we're a church. Forgive me for I've opened the door to not be a church. When he said, put church on the
thing he gave me. The IRS gave me a church status without me even trying. He gave me everything. He goes, okay, you have this. All official. Do you need it that way? I do because he said so. So don't write me something about the 501s. I don't care, guys. I do what God says. He's bigger than that. He's placed government in position. Get out of conspiracy and fear and all this mess, amen, and be led by God. He knows we're ambassadors in a foreign land and we're doing what he shows us. He knows how to get in and spy and do whatever he wants to do, amen? Let's quit being so goofy, so petty about everything. Lord, what do you want me to do and how do you want me to do it? You've heard my stories. If he wanted me to join, come under somebody's covering, I would. I stood in line too. He goes, get out of that line. If you don't get out of that line, I'm taking the anointing. I'm out of line, God. See why? Because I'm not rebellious. If that was how he wanted to do things, if that's how he went, fine. But he's like, nope, I'm going to do this without that. Amen? See, no one else can do this for you. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. It was set up that way. That's a good thing. Otherwise, it's religion and a social club. Now, we can have social stuff because there's fellowship all through Scripture. We can have breaking of bread. We can have all those things. Amen? But the key is we want to do the will of the Father. So, Father, I thank you that we are overcomers, that you will teach us your ways, that we will walk in them, that you will empower us by your grace, that Lord, you will order our steps. And so, Father, even now, I just thank you that you're going to work in the hearts of the people in this place as how they're going to rise up in a power and a might to do your will in this hour and this day in our nation and the nations. And we just give you praise. Lord, we loose your angels in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to go forth and perform your word that was prophesied by Apostle Fred. That, Lord, you would bring in people, that we would go to nations. Lord, that there would be 400 that would be trained up in a powerful way in this place to overcome and be mighty. I know many of them have already prevailed and gone to different places that you've sent them. But Lord, we ask that that word be performed. We thank you, Lord, that the word that we were, one of us was like 1,000, that the influence that one of us would have would be the same kind of influence that 1,000 other people would have in the things of your kingdom. That, Lord, we would win entire nations. So, Father, we ask you to bring this word to pass. We thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a God that does correct us, rebuke us, and change us. And I thank you, Lord, for the powerful, powerful anointings and calls that are on people's lives in this room as they rise up in this hour and day and say, no more. I'm no longer doing what the flesh wants. I'm no longer doing what people want. I'm going to do the will of God. No matter what that looks like, I'm going to trust you and walk in it. In Jesus' mighty and powerful name, amen.
Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.